The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. We've got another great guest to talk to in the second half of the show. We're going to do a bit of masterminding as well, I think.
Exciting. What are we doing?
Some tweets and emails.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I thought you had something.
I love this.
We'll think of something.
No, I've got something. I'd just like to put you on the spot.
You're just trying to wind me up, aren't you? I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare, the telecom systems providers over there on the Medway City Estate, wishing us a happy new year and a great show. So thank you to Lisa, Dave and the team at Telcare. It's much appreciated. I want to tell you about something that's coming up very soon as well. And I'd like you, as a business owner or a manager, to help us bridge the gap between school and business. We'd like you to join the Business Bunker Show, Jobs in Kent and the Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway on a 30-30 program to inspire the next generation of talent. We take 30 businesses into a school and you hear from Kent County Council or LinkedIn or someone talking about things of interest to a business. While you're doing that, the students hear from people about how to present themselves, both in dress, in written terms, and in interview skills. And then we come together for some speed networking. And the idea behind this is for you as a business person to interact directly with 17-year-olds looking at their whether they're going on to higher education or straight into the world of work. And what we're trying to tell them is what we need as employers. Yeah, what kind of attitudes, what kind of approach we need, and what it's like to work in our industry as well. And the next event is taking place on the 18th of January, and it's at the Lee Academy. That's over in Dartford. It's totally free. It's only a morning. You normally get some refreshment as well, and it's great fun. It really is good fun. So if you'd like to join us either at that, the one after that is on the 13th of March at the Hillview School for Girls in Tunbridge. So these things happen all throughout the year, and you can find out about them by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30. Please come along. We'd like you to join us. It's great fun.
Well, here's that.
Don't crash your car on the way home, now.
Okay.
Which is what happened to me last
time.
Good to know.
Yeah. The reason I didn't want to talk to you about this email before was because I knew that we'd actually go into a bit of depth with it. So this is booking open for the next Kent Business Summit, which is on this Friday, which is the 11th of January. And this is the Kent Business School Uni of Kent and Canterbury, and bringing public and private sectors together with startups and entrepreneurs to discuss how to sustain economic growth for the county. Interesting.
Mm.
I'm going.
Are you?
You're going.
I certainly am.
Are you going?
It's Friday.
She's got a show to do.
Oh, yeah.
If I keep saying, are you going? Nobody know I've done a business show on a Friday morning?
No? Sorry, love.
Okay. No, I can't go.
Bruce, you going?
I'm going to try and go, yeah.
You've got to be there.
I didn't know about it until now.
You've got to be there.
Yeah, I will be there. In the morning, there's a load of talks from keynote speakers, and in the afternoon, there's workshops, and you can pick your own workshop.
I'm really gutted, if I'm really honest with you, right? Because I'd really like to join your round table, but I don't want to, and I'm going to be, I love you, and you're my dear friend, but I don't want it to be you that's doing that topic. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, I could already discuss that with you, and I don't want to waste that time.
No, but it's not me. It's not. I'm not doing a presentation. I'm just chairing the event.
No, I know. But I thought, oh, what other subject can I get involved with? I'm not with you, Mr. Andrews, because I already speak to you anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But the one I'm chairing is on diversity and supported needs in the workplace.
I so wanted to do that.
But the way that the workshops work, it's not about me. I'm just the chairman. I'm just taking notes. Yeah. Everybody that participates in that workshop has their own thoughts and feelings about what they want to see. And the whole idea behind these workshops, all of them, not just mine, but all of the workshops are, I do 2 minutes on setting the scene about what the workshop's about. And I can do that now. It's about looking at the talent that's available out there amongst the diverse workforce and the diverse needs that people have. So that's people with supported needs, that's equality issues. It's about looking at all the things that are to do with talent that is available in whatever form it exists. And from that moment on, we hand the whole thing over to the people that have come to the round table. They all put their ideas in. They all contribute. They all tell us what they think from different points of view. So some of the people there will be disabled people, and they will tell us about how hard it is or how easy it is or whatever it is they want to tell us about the world of work. And we'll also hear from employers. At the end of that, I pull all of that together, and then I write it up, and it's given to the university, and they put it together as a paper.
I wonder if I should bring Jack with me.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you should.
I tell you, there's so much to talk about that, and that's why I was. It's obviously so close to my heart. And
well, the thing is, we need to hear from the people that it directly affects. Yeah, it's no good a bunch of us sitting there going, "Yeah, well, what I would do." Yeah, it doesn't affect us in the same way. So, someone like Jack is absolutely brilliant because he can come and he can tell us how it affects him, how he sees it, what it does to him. What, how it would benefit, you know, it's useful.
So this is what I love about what this show, what we do and everything, Paul. So we're always talking, not me, and we say, look, connect with us on Twitter, please communicate with us. So we've got me.now, so it says at me now company or co. It says Bird and a Bike, Vanilla Web, come and join me on the productivity roundtable at the Kent Summit.
No, I can't because I'm doing my own roundtable.
I can't even remember what roundtable I've put myself on now. Yeah. I was like, Oh, what should I do? I think it's something on women's empowerment or something. That's unusual for me, isn't it?
Absolutely. But the whole day is about it. It's not about being told what to do. We're going to hear from people that know some stuff without any shadow of a doubt. But the thing I love about this is that the university pulls all the data together, and when they produce a huge report, you can still download last year's report on the summit from last year. They bring together a huge report, but not only do they do that, they use it as the basis for some of their research stuff going forward. It's a brilliant thing. It's a brilliant thing. So do come along. It's this Friday, the 11th of January.
That's correct, it is.
At the Sibson building on the University of Kent campus at Canterbury.
Is it needed to book?
You do have to book, yeah. If you go...
I'll tell you what you should do, Bruce, because I've got it here. Here's the thing. So you need to go on to www.worldwideweb, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk, and go on there and you can book all the details
from
there. It is
kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. And then at the bottom of that page, because a lot of people said, yeah, well, where's the booking link? Well, it's on the bottom of the page. click on that and you can book your place.
Cool.
Good stuff. I want to talk to Bruce in a moment, but before we do that, have you got something else you want to read?
Yes, Canterbury and East Kent Business Awards. Does that mean I can apply?
Yeah.
What, because I'm in East Kent?
No, you're in South Kent. You're in Hive.
Well, then why are you telling me I can apply?
Well, you can't. I was lying.
Canterbury and East Kent Business Awards. Application deadline is the 8th of February. Awards gala dinner, Thursday the 14th of March. Broome Park Hotel, Canterbury. You need to go on to www.
That's World Wide Web.
businessawardskent.co.uk. Can I just talk to you a little bit about something? And I thought about you and I on this.
If you're quick, because I want to talk to Bruce.
Okay, well, quickly.
And he's more interesting than you.
I would storm out right now if I was you.
Yeah.
I find it quite funny, though, if I'm really honest, Amanda Flanders. Right. Stephen and I watched a programme the other day about, what's he called, Morecambe and Wise. Really, really interesting programme about how, I didn't realise how long a partnership they had been in.
Yep.
So when you see them at that end result,
yep.
actually they'd been together 30 years before
that. Yeah, they started in Vaudeville.
Oh, my days. Mm. Yeah. Unbelievable. So I thought of you and I, because it's, you know, look how far we've come along now.
Do you know, I saw them live. Once.
No, you didn't.
I saw them live once in a theatre. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Mm. They were absolutely unbelievable.
And I think the word is they.
Yeah.
We just think that it was Eric Morecambe.
It's a team. Yeah. Without that straight man, it doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, so you're my straight man.
See, I was going to say, you're my straight man.
Oh, damn. That's why it doesn't work. We've got two straight men.
Who's the funniest in this business relationship here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. That said it all. Anyway, go on to Bruce. See what I did there?
Moving swiftly on. Moving swiftly on.
I'm not even going to go there.
Good. It was me thinking I was being all like, God, isn't the show grown? Aren't we doing amazing stuff? Continue. Bruce, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Right.
Do a proper introduction.
Yeah, no. Before I do that, I'm gonna start an argument with Bruce about something completely different here. Vegan sausage rolls we want to talk about.
No, you're not Piers Morgan, are you? Yeah.
But Bruce, for those that don't know, Bruce is a vegan, and you have an organisation called Ikigai.
Yes, that's correct.
Which is a vegan...
We're a vegan food company.
Yeah. Correct, yeah. So, what's your view on Greg's and their vegan sausage? Have you tried one?
I would not try one, no. No. I wouldn't go there because mine is much better.
Is it?
Yes.
You make sausage rolls, do you?
Absolutely, yes.
So, what's in your sausage rolls?
proper soy protein and not a bunch of fake stuff.
Right, okay, cool.
Basically, that's what there exists, isn't it? So they bulk it up with all kinds of interesting things. So,
just if you don't mind, just talking about that, because I'm not a vegan and I'm not a vegetarian.
Yep.
But it always strikes me, of course, that as a meat eater, there's nothing stopping me eating vegan and vegetarian food.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely nothing at all. Yeah. So you guys are but you've got the best of all worlds because everyone can eat your food.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Correct,
yeah.
Yes.
Whereas only me can eat a pasty or whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
But
only if you like pastry. I wouldn't eat pasty. I wouldn't.
No, that's because you're a pirate and you were fed on them when you were a baby instead of breastfeeding. You were brought up on pasties, so you've had enough. But it strikes me that you know back in the day, vegetarian food initially and then onto vegan food was pretty cardboardy like. But that's kind of come on leaps and bounds.
But
just looking at it, and I want your view on this. I think there's to call food something like a vegan sausage roll kind of mislabels it because it enables people like Piers Morgan to get the ump with it.
Yeah.
And you don't really know what you're eating because it's definitely not sausage, that's for sure.
Well, it's the same as a normal sausage roll.
It's not sausage either.
8% meat, perhaps? I think it's a very good point you're making. Yeah. But, for example, you know, if we look at the nutritional value, let's forget about what it is we're eating. Let's look at the nutritional value. The Greg's sausage roll, the vegan one, for example, contains, I believe, 12.8 grams of protein, where the non-vegan sausage roll contains 9.3% of protein. And then people who are not vegan would go, well, how do you get your protein? Well, the same thing, it's much... much, much higher in protein than the original. But to get away with, for example, the naming of a patty or a sausage or whatever, it's originally been named those names not because it was meat, because it's the shape.
Yeah.
So it's very fair to call any burger made from beans a burger or a burger made from meat a burger because it is still the...
It's a pate. Yeah.
It's still the form, the shape it is rather than what it contains. So,
I mean, I don't actually have a beef. Did you see what I did there? I don't have a beef.
He's definitely not Eric Morgan. That's all I'm going to say.
Boom-tish.
You keep carrying on because you're just winning it for me. I think we should run a who's the Eric in this relationship. Who's
she's
Eric?
She's spamming me now, isn't she?
Carry on.
Thank you, chicken.
Pleasure.
Right. Okay. I don't have a problem with the labels. My view is though that for me. I'm thinking from a marketing point of view more than anything else. If you can give something a sexier name, then people will try it. People will eat it.
I totally agree with you. However, I don't think a sexier name would have had the country talking about sausage.
No,
about veganism as much. So I think it's a total win situation for anybody who's vegan.
Yeah, I mean the winners out of this are Greg's because they got millions and millions and millions of tweets because Piers Morgan did a thing about it, and then they actually covered it on TV as well, didn't they?
It was such a big thing. It was such a big backlash that totally didn't work out in the end for everybody who was against it. I mean, people filmed themselves buying a Greg sausage roll and then throwing it in the dustbin.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's a bit, you know, people making a point of, well, you could have given it to the homeless man, or you're still buying the vegan sausage roll. So,
well, they care what you did with it.
They sold it. They don't care what you do with it.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Thank you. You've helped the vegan movement kind of saying, oh, we've sold loads. Yeah. Of course, the other thing that helps at the moment is that it's Veganuary or Vegan January or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's the month where people tend to try and not eat, try and be vegan. For the month, I don't understand that.
I've
really,
just been ordered not to eat. Basically,
it's not a diet, so I don't understand the whole concept of it. So,
yeah.
But it works because it gets people talking. Yeah, you know, and that's I suppose from a vegan point of view, that is what we want. We want people talking about what it is, rather than I'm not an activist and I don't tell anybody else what to eat. But if I give them my food and they eat it, I have saved something somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely, and. Like anything, like any food, if you produce nice food, it really, you know, it's just nice. It's food that you want to eat.
It's absolutely right. I mean, at the end of the day, it's food. Food is quite an experience, really, isn't it? Because you look at it, you start eating it long before you've put it in your mouth, because it's a visual experience to start with. If it looks good, your vision is telling you it's going to taste good, and it doesn't matter what's in it. Yeah, your perception is going to taste good, and that's what we do.
I'm going to throw something at you. I kind of suspect I know the answer anyway, but I'm going to throw it at you because I know you. I saw someone the other day, a politician, a Dutch politician, they were trying to get away with putting a 70% tax on meat for a start, and their answer to protein was they were pushing insects. So like crickets and stuff like that, which are a huge source of protein. Mm. I'm assuming as a vegan that you wouldn't entertain that either.
Absolutely not. A vegan person wouldn't entertain anything that was alive or any juices that comes from anything that was alive.
Right.
So I know it sounds a horrible thing to say, but that means we wouldn't use milk, we wouldn't use butter, we wouldn't use honey from bees, you know, because they're not particularly producing it for someone to take, you know. Okay. I know in nature, a bear would go and they would find a honey thing and they would trap it. But that's life. That's how it works. It's a natural thing.
Okay,
so
I wasn't.
We don't do that. I don't eat honey. But then there are vegan people that would because they go. Actually, that helps the bees.
Yeah.
It helps them be more productive, and you know. So there are different thought processes in this.
Yeah, for sure, and presumably different rationales and reasons for doing it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people I know that are vegetarians, at least, they're vegetarians not because they don't like meat, but because they don't like the way that animals are treated, for instance. Yeah.
Absolutely the same for me. Yeah. I mean, I've the first person that would tell anybody who comes and buy my food that I'm trying to make food to taste like meat because I like meat.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't get away from it. I grew up on a farm. I'm used to.
Yeah.
I know where my food came from, but it was a different thing for me.
Fantastic. All right, so we need to talk about that.
No problem.
It was all part of the zeitgeist.
You could talk about that for a whole hour.
Yeah, we're here. We could.
More.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
But we didn't get Bruce here to talk about that.
No.
We got here to talk about the business that he's in. So. You have been on the show a couple of times, so.
Yes.
But for those that don't know what Oasis do, just give us an overview of what you do.
No problem. So just a short overview of what we do as a company. We're a software company, and we help businesses effectively to integrate all areas of the business through the software we supply and the consultancy we give to them. So we build long-term relationships, which is something we spoke about a lot today, about the digital world. But effectively, at the end of the day, it's that face-to-face relationship that I build our customer base on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing I like about the software that you provide is it is totally integrated.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can do anything with it effectively in running a business. There
absolutely
are so many modules to it. Yeah.
Absolutely. The idea of the software and the reason we are selling what we are selling is because we can use what we have to take any business out there and to fully integrate all areas. And when I say fully integrate, you're going to know from before, I mean to the point where if I buy a milk for the office, I can take a picture of the receipt and it posts a transaction in my back office.
Right.
And that's all I have to do.
Right.
You know, that eliminates all that need for people to write stuff down and send it over and someone to put it in. So it just eliminates all the potential errors you can get. So it integrates everything.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
And you literally can do everything with it, you know, from your accounting software right the way through to your attendance and product control.
Absolutely. With the introduction of the Exact software that we have now, it's just opened up business for us to be able to go into any field. So if we're looking at a recruitment company, for example, who needs to have an idea of a recruitment system, where they have put a lot of people in, they're emailing to and fro, they organize meetings and interviews and that kind of stuff, the software will deal with that and ultimately interact in such a way that should you give a job to someone that you have had there, it will automatically create the person in your payroll system. It will put him on the right pension schemes and all that kind of stuff in the background. Okay. So it's really clever stuff.
Okay. Mm. Now then, here's the question. Mm. It's really clever stuff. Mm. It's big and powerful and lovely. Mm. So who's it aimed at as a target market?
Well, our target market, without a doubt, is the SME market, and everybody within that.
Right.
I almost want to say that we moved away from the lower part of the SME market because the software perhaps is a bit overkill for some of those businesses. But our marketplace is, without a doubt, is the SME market. I would say 50 employees plus.
Yep.
I don't think there's a real limitation on the top where we can go to with the software, but that's kind of, you know.
But it's not for me. So, you know, because back in the day, you know, and I know they're not the same product, but you have things like SAP and stuff like that back years ago, but they were hellishly expensive and really only used by big corporates. You're providing a bigger, more integrated, better product than that. A lower level.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the difference between something like SAP and what we do is the product comes out of the box, shall we say. I've got two products that come out of the box, and then we have an in-house developer, one of our directors, owners of the business, who is a developer of the product and the software. So he would develop that further if we need to put functionality in or to link areas that is normally not linked. When you look at a system like SAP, when they go into a business, they build, SAP has got a base, but they built everything around what they go and talk. So that makes it much more expensive. That doesn't mean my software can't have the same functionality.
Sure.
It's just in how you set it up.
Yeah, of course.
So at a fraction of the cost. Mm. I'm not saying it's cheap, because it's not, but it's not, you know, it's not what you would expect something like SAP or Navision or Dynamics would cost you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it will fulfill absolutely the same role
in
what it would do for the business.
And I think that's the crucial point of this, isn't it? Because that brings it down to within the budget and scope of a larger small business.
That's correct. Yeah. Just because a business is smaller doesn't mean their requirements are any less than someone who's much bigger than them.
In actual
fact, sometimes the requirements are more because they need to really know what they're doing to make business move forward.
It's interesting that you should say that, Bruce, as well, because that is actually very, very true, isn't it? Because in a smaller business, you don't have the divisions and the management structures and the organisational structures to do different things.
Yeah.
So if you can integrate it all in one software product, it obviates the need to do a lot of those things as well.
It increases productivity within the company.
Yeah,
you know, it totally increases the productivity within the company, which is something that as a company we have totally going to focus on this year. Now, we made a decision to have an event in January. So I've got an event coming up next week.
Oh, they made a New Year's resolution.
No. as Amanda would know, you don't have an event on the 17th of January and decided on the 1st of January to put
not?
It on.
No, 17 days, that's fine. It's plenty of time.
No, so we set this out last year already. Yeah. We actually, normally around September month, we sit and we plan all our events for the year for the next year in advance.
Yeah.
We look at our business as January to December, although the payroll years and all the other years runs from April. But for me, it makes sense to look at the year because there is a very clear close down at the end of the year because businesses are half closed down for us in our industry anyway. So it closes down and it starts fresh again in January. So it is just how it works for us. But we've got this event coming up. It's all about productivity. And I almost want to call it, as we spoke about International Women's Day earlier on, I almost wanted to call it a mini International Women's Day because all my speakers ended up being women on the day, which is fantastic. Mm. So I've got some real interesting people involved on the day doing talks for us. But our whole aim for the day is productivity.
Right.
So all the talks is going to be around that, about systems, how systems helps the productivity within the business. I've got people like Linda Garcia doing a Systems for Success. for example.
Okay.
I've got Ellie, and I don't want to say her surname wrong.
Kachia.
Kachia?
Ellie Kachia.
Yeah, yeah, from Renowned Resourcing, okay, doing a talk on, yeah, again, on employee retention and systems and how systems help us to retain the knowledge and the retention of our employees within the business. And then I also have Tina George from Agilis,
yep,
doing a talk because, again, it's very important nowadays in business. We want to be online. We want our mobile phones to do everything we do. Yeah. We want our engineers to go and fix a problem and put everything on the mobile and it comes back to our system. But we can't do that if the mobile has got no signal. Mm. And that's where Tina comes in really important in what we offer to our customers.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah.
Because now it doesn't make a difference anymore, almost a difference anymore, where you work, you'll have some connectivity. And that becomes really important for things like timesheets that needs to be in on a certain time, or field engineer reports that they have to fill in. So easy, customer signs in. 5 seconds later, it's all in the system in the back office, and the engineer don't have to go home, fill in a form, scan it in, send it through. Someone in the office pick it up 2 days later, make a mistake in putting it on. You know how it goes. So it just helps us. So that's a whole event is totally aimed at this software in the business world and the productivity that goes within that. So 17th of January, 9 till 1:30 at the London Golf Club.
That's a nice venue as
well. Yeah, no, it's a lovely venue.
Yeah, what are you doing in the afternoon, Everest?
Well, I don't play golf yet, but I could go and visit you at your home.
Have you been to London? Have you been to London Golf
several
Club before?
Times? We've had several events.
It's
amazing.
Fabulous place, isn't it? It's absolutely fabulous.
As we love the venue because it seems to work for us as a venue.
Right.
We've been to so many places to look at having venues around Kent, and there are fantastic places. But you know, you get a feel of somewhere, don't you?
Yeah.
And we put on an event at the London Golf Club, probably now just over a year ago. 2 years ago, and it was probably our most successful event ever we have put up from what came out of it. So we've got it again, and we are following through on this event moving forward to one in May and one in October. Again at the London Golf Club, where we kind of almost have this series of events, and we're going to concentrate on productivity in the workforce and systems and how it goes forward. So I should have, for example, involved in my next one someone from Oregon Training who had a shout out earlier to talk to us about the training and stuff they provide and how that helps your workforce again. So there's a real plan and synergy moving forward with these events to help businesses, because they don't always know what's out there, you know.
As we were saying with Amanda in the Tech Expo show, you know, it's a question of knowing what's there, knowing what you can do. I love it. I love what you're doing. So 17th of January at the London Golf Club. How do people book on it or find out about it?
Easy. You can go to our website, www.o-a-sys.co.uk. Says oasis.co.uk, so you'll find links on there to book. I write over Twitter at the moment. It's been posted to book links. On our website you'll find it, and just book a place. We've got free lunch going on the day, some networking, so people get to talk to each other. So it should be very good. The product specialist from Exact is doing several talks for us.
Fantastic.
And that should be very good, because people get to see what this could offer them rather than just hear.
Yeah.
So you get to see what this could offer you as well. Everyone is invited to this event. It should be a fantastic event. But we need some bookings, because I need to know how much food to prepare for people.
Is it vegan?
There will be vegan. There will be celiac food and vegan, because there's a whole bunch of people that needs to be fed.
Do you know what? We did, Amanda, sorry, but yeah, Amanda and I did an event, and Amanda did my event, or one of my events with me, and we didn't give anybody choices, did we? I was very adamant that it had to be vegan food, and they were all like, really? And I was like, yep, and everybody loved the food, didn't they? So it's just, and Jules Serkin has just put on Twitter, I really, 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 really want Bruce to talk about food, please. Oh, and the integrated software. But the food was first, obviously. So I love that. So, you know, I just think, actually, when you don't give choice and you just go, this is what it is, I just love
it's interesting. I made reference earlier to the fact that we're going to Chilston Park this weekend to celebrate my mum's birthday. Well, my mum is gluten intolerant, so we're having Sunday afternoon tea gluten intolerant. And Amanda said, oh, you've got to have that at Chilston because they're really great at their hotels at providing gluten-free food.
Yeah.
So I went, okay, well, what's, you know, we're going to get what we get, and she gets what we get. But no, they provide gluten-free food that everyone wants to eat because it tastes nice, and that's my
you
point.
You wouldn't even know, and that's what really surprised me when you asked Bruce the question, well, what do we know what we're eating?
Mm.
And I'm going to be really honest, I'm going to poke the bear a little bit. Mm. Most people don't care.
Yeah.
They just want to eat that because it looks
nice and tastes nice.
Tastes nice.
Exactly.
That's the important thing.
But all of a sudden, when we start to talk about being a vegan, then we all start to take this platform of, oh, but you don't know what you're eating. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because actually, you're not that conscious in eating anyway, if you're really honest.
Absolutely. And it's like anything. Things have evolved, haven't they?
Yeah.
Back in the day, I'd say my mum's 90. And so back in the day, years ago, when she rocked up anywhere and said, I'm gluten intolerant, yeah, she got a rice cracker instead of bread,
of
you know, because that's all they had. Yeah.
But it still hasn't moved on that much. If you ask somebody for a vegetarian meal, I'll usually eat vegetarian more than anything.
Mm.
I will get pastry.
Mm.
I don't want pastry.
Mm.
I want you to be creative in that process.
But that's because you're a pirate and they think, oh, she needs the pasty.
But it's just lazy.
Yeah.
It's just lazy. That's all it is, really, isn't it?
I totally agree with you.
But
just lazy. Bruce is like, yes, Barry, she's saying it out loud, but it's true.
But as a dyed-in-the-wool pastry and meat eater, I agree with Amanda. I don't care what you're going to serve me as long as it looks nice and tastes nice.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's why we eat anything we eat, because it tastes like.
Yeah.
No one eats anything because it's not nice.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
You
eat it because it's nice.
Yeah. If I said to you this was cream but it's not made from dairy, you'd go, I don't
care. So what? As long as it tastes nice.
I don't care as long as it looks nice.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden then we're going, oh, well, I don't know what I'm eating now. And I laugh because I'm like...
Well, you didn't know before anyway.
You've got it.
Or you get very often when we stand selling our food, and I'm a kind of... I really try and engage with people. So we don't stand behind anything. We stand in front. I stop them. And I say, come eat our food. And people go very often, well, what is it? And I go, it's lovely. It's vegan food. There's gluten-free. There's this and there's that. There's a cheesecake. Oh, no. Vegan food. We can't eat that. We're not vegan.
I know, exactly.
But you eat potatoes with your meat. That's vegan. You know, so it's a weird concept. It's just the label. People have a real issue with the label,
of
I think.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, because
no one wants to be labelled anyways, but they have a real issue with the label. Yeah,
because it comes with a scarcity and I don't want to give up anything.
Yeah.
Well, and
I don't want to give up leather. I don't want to give up. It's probably food and clothes rather than...
I think it also comes down to this syndrome, though, of what you used to get as vegetarian and vegan food.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And people go, oh, that'll be horrible. That'll be just a bunch of, soybeans or something. Yeah. I mean, a few years ago, I went to, I did a radio show from Olympia, and it was the specialty food show, and it was for intolerances and stuff like that. And back then, people were trying to produce a vegetarian and vegan food that was a substitute for everything else.
Mm.
And most of it tasted like cardboard. Mm. It was bloody horrible because they weren't concentrating on the taste of the food. They were concentrating on making it look like something that it wasn't and passing it off as something that it isn't. And I just thought that was daft.
That doesn't work. No, it just doesn't work.
So here's some more information coming. So this is somebody connecting with us. So this is Joe Humphrey. Thanks for this, Joe. She put Vanilla Webb, proud to say I love my sausage rolls and agree it can't be called a vegan sausage roll if it contains no meat. So it's interesting how people start to have a thought process of it all.
Yeah.
And it's true, you can't call it a vegan sausage roll, but you're identifying what it is.
I'll tell you a quick story, and then we need to move on to do our masterminding. But I'll tell you a quick story. It was nothing to do with vegan sausage rolls, but it was to do with sausages. I was having an argument online about something or other, and somebody was mentioning sausages, And another person said, yeah, well, sausages are disgusting food at the best of times because there's not in it what you think. And before I get into an argument about anything, I always like to do some research. So I just typed into Google sausages. And, you know, the first thing that came up was a huge thing from Sue Nelson.
Yeah.
She used to be the editor of the Northwest Food Guide. Yeah, years and years ago. And this article came up, and it was a huge rant by Sue about sausages and how disgusting they were because they didn't contain anything that was remotely like sausage. Yeah, it was all awful and bits and pieces. And that comes back to the you don't know what you're eating syndrome. You know, we can call something a sausage roll, but whether there's much sausage in it, in conventional terms, is a moot point as well, isn't it? Because most conventional sausage rolls are actually fillers. You know,
contains more grains than anything else. Yeah. Oats and grains. That's what fills it up.
So it's more like haggis than sausage, really, isn't it? Right. On that note, anyway, coming back to Oasis, 17th of January.
At the end of January at the London Golf Club.
At the London Golf Club. Yeah, we're going to be there. And you can find out all about it, and you can book your place by going to the website, which is oasis-a-sys.co.uk. Bruce, lovely to see you as always.
Thank you.
We've got a few minutes left in the show. Do stay with us. Do join in with the masterminding. But for the moment, Bruce Kidd of Oasis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool. Melanie Spanswick has launched a new series of piano courses, and they're taking place at Finch Cox Piano School at Goudhurst. Melanie is a British pianist, a teacher, an author, an adjudicator, a presenter, and a popular music writer. You can find out all about these new piano courses by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Melanie, M-E-L-A-N-I-E. Nice. Check it out. Yeah.
Nice. Well, welcome to the new year, it says. They have a great opportunity and challenging for us all. So running a small business or a charity is never easy. So guess what? Somebody who we love and know has started off the Marsh Network. And Marsh Networking is over coffee. It's at 10 a.m. and the next one is Wednesday, the 9th of January. And that's at the Cinque Arms in New Romney. You've also got Marsh Breakfast Networking, which is at 7:45 on Thursday, the 24th of January. And that's at the Ship Inn. If you want to know anything about this, go on to Eventbrite and it's on the Marsh Breakfast Networking. Or you can go and speak to the man himself, Terry Botfield, on, and we love his Twitter. Go for it, Mr. Andrews.
TD Botty.
But you can get him on terry@botfield.net.
Fantastic. Amanda's got to go. And before she goes, though, I need her to tell us who's on her show on Friday.
Oh, have I not texted you that yet?
No, you haven't.
You're here.
I'm here. Oh, yeah. My guest is the fabulous Jason Allen, as in Jason Allen Sway. Blues, not blues.
Swing singer.
Swing singer and also actor. He was on last year, and this year he's actually celebrating 20 years in the industry.
He doesn't look old enough.
No, he's another young one. And my co-host is...
He started at three.
He started at three, yeah. He probably did. And my co-host is our new mystery co-host.
Oh, you got a new co-host, haven't you?
Yeah. I can't believe it. I don't even know.
You don't even know?
I don't even know.
Well, you got to tune in, 11 o'clock on Friday, the Bunker Extra Show.
We can't.
They'll have to listen to the listen again later on
afternoon.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Cool. So we've got a new co-host joining the team. So it's going to be a great show. I'm going to go now. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for that. Bye. Cool. I want to tell you about the Romney Resource Centre. We're looking to collaborate with local and national businesses who want to support an excellent charity working to improve the lives and opportunities available within the Romney Marsh community. From as little as £10 a month, we'll provide you your own page on our website. You can add your own content. You can advertise your business, events, and any special offers that may help raise awareness of your company. Your support will help us deliver our much-needed services to local people and local businesses to promote the economic growth of our community. If you want to find out more about this, if you go to romney-resource.co.uk/supporters.
Nice.
Cool. Should we do a bit of mastermind?
Let's do it.
What are you thinking?
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking. This is what's been really bringing up some stuff for me. So, and I'm just watching how social media and what people are wanting at this time. So obviously we've got New Year. It comes with an energy. It comes with a really interesting energy as well. So you have this Christmas rise and then this energy drops. And I've always been... in tune with energy, because obviously Jack is autistic and we've had to really support him in this time because it's oversensory. You don't realize how much sensory overload that we all go through. So I'm into my build phase of my training, and I've been not feeling great in energy, and I'm like, oh, what's going on here? So I thought, right, I'm going to adapt some, because it, It's like a business. It's like anything. So you build the body of your business. I've always said this. So, okay, so I'm going to change the way I'm training to this. So I started to do some specific yoga at home, and it's not easy. So I start with this gusto of energy. I'm like, yes, I'm going to do this. So I find a methodology.
You're straight into your downward dog.
And then I take it at home. Do you see what I did there, Bruce?
Yeah, ignore bad behaviour. Cut me off. Yeah.
Ignore bad behaviour, reward the good. And this is something else that's come up as well. So so I started some new practice.
Yep.
And it's not easy. And I'm committed.
When you say it's not easy.
Yeah.
From what perspective is it not easy? From a time point of view, from a physical point of view, yeah. From
all of the above and more.
Okay.
So
okay.
Any adaptation, any change comes with a gusto and energy, and then very, very quickly it comes with a, I haven't got time, you know, it's my body doesn't feel like this, or it's not working, or any excuse that you can physically think of to not do that action.
Mm.
And it's really interesting. Now, I come with commitment. I come with discipline. I come with experience and a result-based practice.
Mm.
And still, I am questioning my adaptation process.
Mm. And what's your motivation to do this?
To have a greater balance. Because one area is too going, it just drains. But I love that question, because then everybody's going, oh, what would be my... Because that's the thing, is why are you doing this?
I think that's the key thing, isn't it? It always comes down to motivation, yeah? At the moment, I've literally just started a diet again. I'm the world's worst yo-yo dieter.
Yeah.
I know how to lose weight, and I know how to put weight on, and I do both of those very well in a year. The thing is, I have to get in my head the motivation to start what I'm doing. And then once it's in there... I'm home and away, and I go with it, yeah?
But it doesn't last.
Well, what happens is that you actually hit your target, and then things change because you've hit your target. And I'm just talking about weight in a moment. So at the moment, I'm vastly overweight, okay, for me, and it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like being overweight. But, you know, over the Christmas period and the fact that I've broken both my legs so I couldn't move – you know, I just overeat, and you get too big. So I start to lose weight. The minute I start to rein in on what I'm eating, I feel better. Yeah, and I feel much better. I don't feel bloated. I just feel better. And the problem with that is it works. I lose weight really quickly normally, and I get
most
back.
Men do though. Men do.
Yeah,
it's hormonal response.
Yeah. So I get back to a weight that I feel really comfortable with. The problem with that then is you then get hungry. Yeah, not because you're hungry, but because you know, well, I can eat, you know, it doesn't matter. And that's where the yo-yoing comes in, because the problem is when you start eating, it then tips the balance and you go, oh, food, nice, you know, like it. But the fact is, it doesn't go on immediately, yeah? So you don't notice it. It takes a few weeks before you suddenly notice that your trousers are getting a bit tighter again, yeah? And you think, oh, that's all right, I'll start a diet soon. And you don't, and that's why it goes on. So it is about the motivation. You've got to keep the motivation there. And the reality of it is it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. And that's the thing that we all struggle with.
And this is where I wanted to talk about this time of this year.
Mm.
So this time of year, we've got this energy. We've had this big boost. Now we're coming all back down. We're all coming back into work financially. We're all very low.
Broke.
We know this time of year up until the 17th of this month is a really important area to, one, understand how you feel, who your support network is, and who you have got around you that you should be supporting.
Mm.
Because mindset, I don't even want to call it just your general well-being, is at its low.
Yeah, yeah.
The energy, the light, it's really dark in the mornings.
Mm. You know, it's winter. Very exactly. We should hibernate. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But comes with that a feeling, emotions.
Mm. Mm.
So New Year's resolutions never work. They never will. It's not the right time of year.
Mm.
Also, to change anything is hard.
Mm. Yeah.
And it needs, and that's why I started off with, or people have said, oh, what are you doing, Bird, this year? I'm just being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually that brings such the biggest results, more than actually keep on adapting and changing, because that's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, isn't it? The whole, and you can apply this to anything. It isn't just wellness or physical wellness. It's mental wellness. It's everything. Everything comes down to motivation, and motivation is purely how you think about things in your head. Yeah. It's totally about that. So Bruce, being a vegan, he knows why he's a vegan, yeah? And he might find it difficult, you know, because he misses some things that he'd like, but he knows unequivocally why he's a vegan, yeah? And for that, that's what gives him the strength.
Of course.
Because he knows why, yeah? For some of the rest of us, just losing weight isn't really the motivation in itself, yeah?
It's that peak, isn't it?
Yeah, it's whether you're 16 stone or 16 and a half stone. Really doesn't matter either way,
but
yeah?
It's nonsense. It's what's underneath that. Yeah. It's why do I want to feel it? I'm just reading a book at the minute by Neville Goddard.
Right.
So feeling is the secret.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how we actually need to then go in and think, well, how do I feel?
Yeah.
And what is that motivation?
But
you can transfer this, everything. It isn't just body. This is business. This is why am I putting all this work into business, into a relationship, into my social media, when I'm not getting any results, or I get a little bit of results, so I lose weight fast. Let's use that model of comparison. But then actually I've lost it, so I don't need to be consistently behaving that way.
Yeah.
I can go back to this old behavior, which made me feel like this, but this end result will make me... So it's not, it's nonsense.
Yeah, and that's something right, and that's what I mean by the motivation of it. What's in your head about it?
Yeah.
Because if your motivation is just to lose a bit of weight, once you've lost a bit of weight, you've lost the motivation as well.
The motivation has gone again.
Yeah. And that's where it goes wrong, and you end up yo-yo dieting because it's the wrong focus. Yeah. Mm. Losing weight isn't the goal. It should just be a part of whatever it is you're focusing on. You know, being healthy or well,
healthy
or whatever.
Or something like that. Absolutely right.
And it's the same. I used to be, many, many years ago, I was an incredibly heavy smoker. Yeah, like 80 a day, heavy smoker.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
I know. And I stopped smoking on a day. I just stopped. You do the same.
Same thing.
And I haven't smoked for over 20 years now. And people go, well, what did you use? And I went, I didn't use anything. And I went, well, how can you do that? How can you go from 80 to nothing without using gum or patches or anything? And that's the problem. If you use gum or patches, you're telling yourself, I'm missing something here, and therefore I've got to substitute it with something else. Mm. My motivation was, I don't want to die, and I don't want to die horribly, so I'm not going to do this anymore. And from that point of view, there's never an end point while you're alive, if you see what I mean. It's because I've still got the same motivation to not smoke now as the day I gave up.
Mm.
So it's what you have in your mind as why you're doing something, which is the crucial thing in terms of motivating you to do anything, as far as I'm concerned.
Totally right. I stopped smoking three times in my life, majorly stopped smoking, but only on the last time my motivation was right.
Yeah.
And every single time I stopped smoking for 7 months, and I was a very heavy smoker. I'm the kind of person who woke up at night to smoke.
Yeah.
You know,
I used to smoke while I was asleep.
Yeah. You know, it was just there. You kind of wake up. That's it. So, but my motivation for wanting to stop smoking changed on the last time. Mm. I, like you, thought I couldn't die now. There is someone important. I could not imagine that. And I stopped. It was a one-day thing for me. I worked towards the day. Mentally, but I stopped on one day and I didn't use any replacements because I thought all that would happen is I'll transfer my addiction to a patch.
Yeah, exactly.
And or that, a gum, and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, so that's exactly where most people go wrong. Yeah.
So for me, it's been almost 2 years, and I know I will never smoke again.
Yeah. And this is the really interesting thing about what we're talking now. So this is transferable to everything. This is transferable to business. This is transferable to relationships. And this is transferable to life, not just the body.
Mm. It's all in your mind.
It
is totally how you use your mind. It's about how you focus your mind. And it's about focusing on the right thing to make it work.
For you.
Yeah. But so many people make this mistake in so many areas of their life. Let me change the scenario completely. Mm. You talk to people about being successful in life, And a lot of you could say to a lot of people, what will make you successful if I made £1 million? You know, why would that make you successful? It doesn't make you successful. Why would £1 million make you successful? Why £1 million? Why not £500,000? Why not £2 million? Why £1 million? It's because it just sounds like a nice number. But with £1 million, and I've told this story so many times, I had somebody that worked for me years ago, and she won the lottery. And it really tore her life apart, winning the lottery. Mm. It caused so many problems. She fell out with her family. It caused so much grief that eventually she emigrated to Australia to get away from it all. Mm. So money is no panacea for success unless you know why you want it. Yeah. What are you going to do with it? £1 million has no value at all unless you do something with it. And so many people get the wrong motivation in their head. They think something like £1 million is useful, but it's not. It's why do you want £1 million? What are you trying to say? What's it going to do for you? What are you going to use it for? And it's that's your motivation. And there are loads of ways of satisfying that motivation outside of having £1 million. Yeah. Mm. You know, so if somebody said, oh, I want to win the lottery so I can do good things for homeless people. But you can do good things for homeless people without winning the lottery. Yeah,
exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah. I think it makes us feel better if we say we're going to do something if we have something else.
Yeah.
It makes us feel we will be a good person should we get the money. But it's not necessary. Otherwise, that's not how life works.
So where are you with this, Bert? Because we're almost, about a minute. So you've got to wrap up where you are now.
No, it was just, it's a really important time of year to start thinking about what am I feeling and where am I going to take this feeling?
Right.
That, to me, is how we begin the year, not I'm going to stop doing this or I'm going to, because you will fail, my darling.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So actually what you won't fail is actually this is the feeling I want to feel every day, the consistency of living. Mm. So you dieting, it's not, it has to be consistent now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, listen, that brings us to the end of another Business Bunker show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to share a couple of hours with you. I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests this week, the lovely Amanda Flanders of Butterflies Events and the equally lovely Bruce Kidd of Oasis Operational Accounting Systems. To my fantastic co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike, Sarah Ann Lucas, thank you all so much for joining us. And to our sponsors for this week, My Careers Options. Do remember, mycareersoptions.co.uk. You can, in fact, use the system to get a feel for it before you part with any cash. So do check that out. We'll be back with another show next Tuesday. Do tune in to Amanda's show on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show at 11 o'clock. Where she'll be joined by her new co-host, who's a secret at the moment.
You nearly said.
I nearly said who it was. And their guest, Jason Allen. For the moment, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back next week. Bye for now. Have a good week.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.